record it.
And now you want me to wait 10 seconds?
No, no, just don't bump the table too much, guys.
Why don't you hold my breath?
Should we test this to see if like, it's picking up everything?
Maybe
I can see it. I can see the volume.
So. It doesn't, that but doesn't really prove that it's actually recording anything.
Why don't we vote on that?
We can't. We don't have quorum. But we can vote, just won't count.
So perhaps the one good thing about having, I don't know, so, okay, the meeting. So quorum is up to 14, if you didn't receive the message. So we're probably not going to make it tonight.
because
some people come in at the last minute who we didn't think were coming. So we're probably not going to be able to vote anything on anything tonight. But we can discuss stuff. Probably it will be a shorter meeting than last week's meeting. So at all of these meetings, you know, I start by asking who wants to take notes. So I should say I don't really think that Ken recording the sound of the meeting in MP3 format is a substitute for written minutes. Especially because so listening to an hour. The whole reason lots of people don't come to the meetings is because they're so long. And if you have to listen to an hour and a half long MP3 of the meeting, that's not any better than coming to the meeting.
You could be listening to Britney Spears.
An important part of having minutes is that you can sort of read them faster and see what was discussed. So if this were a real meeting, I'd definitely want someone to take notes. On the other hand, if it's not going to be an official meeting that we vote on things, it's not so important that we say things. So, would anyone like to take notes?
Who's on the list?
It'll probably fit on the back of that sentence sheet.
That would be
all the new people elected to the board are
you
going to well, actually.
All right, we're ready.
Let's
go. Come on.
Rock and load.
DM report. So the report for me this week is pretty much that I've been doing other things and haven't done hardly anything useful to the OCF. The one thing I did that you may have seen being passed around is I'm working on changing the account form.
Not a BOD member, and they're gone now. Oh well. He'll find out the hard way.
Okay, let's continue. Come on. I have a small hard drive here.
I'll maybe talk a little bit about account form, account creation stuff here. But as far as the GM issues, like the MOU that we're working on and getting air conditioning and getting money from the Senate, I haven't done anything. So I'm hoping Patrick has done something.
I didn't do anything about the MOU, but I haven't heard from Tom Cordy. I'm not really in a big hurry.
Yeah.
I was hoping Ivan would be here because I guess he put together a bill that he got somebody to sponsor, one of the senators to sponsor.
Yeah, she,
Senator Kara Kim is sponsoring our bill.
Yeah, she came and saw the plight of which we were in here today with the extraordinary heat of the lab.
On a pretty cold evening.
Still
really
and she, you know, she felt that.
We artificially pumped it up.
No, we didn't. Well, when we're running at full capacity, it'll be hotter than that in that room. So, I mean, we weren't really.
And the other side of that is Tom Baker. I spoke to him. I gave him some information. Terry Mathers had passed along to me about someone had come in and rated the space for what type of air conditioning unit would be best. And I gave it to him last week. He said, oh, see me Monday. Talk for a few minutes. Monday, I didn't catch him. Monday, he left early. He wasn't here Tuesday. Wednesday is my busiest day, so I didn't get a chance today. I called Richard Watson. He said, oh, he's not here. Got him on the radio. I said, well, tell him I need to talk to him about something. And I'll be by in about 15 or 20 minutes. Or by then, about 15 or 20 minutes. He'd already left. So I left a long note for him, sent him an email. Because apparently Ivan needs information too soon. Or Tom had also offered that he might go with us to the ASUC to say that it's going to be $25,000.
About credit. is going to be discussed next Wednesday at the SEC.
That's what Ivan says. Yeah, the bill's going in next week.
It's the financial committee. Was that Cara that was there?
Yeah.
Earlier?
Yeah.
She said they hadn't decided yet when their meeting was going to be.
I was
going to
go to that.
So anyway, hopefully Tom Baker will get back to me and I can talk to him. I left him a pretty detailed note.
Some report.
Can you speak louder, please?
Okay. I added the 4 GB disk to Famine for off local source partition.
Yeah.
Which was the possible cause of stale NFS handles on that, but not sure. And I noticed that the off local partition is running out of space. Do you want to start using the other 2 GB disk, or should we just clean it up?
I didn't
look at that yet.
Those aren't mutually exclusive. I should say, I think the biggest thing that's gone into OpLocal recently is I think my GNOME installation is still there. And that's like 500.
Well, if it's causing trouble, we could probably use the 2 GB disk.
On the other hand, this GNOME thing could be deleted because it's not doing anything really good right now.
I talked to the network guy from CNS, John Crowley. So we had a not small network problem in Evans, and he was working on it. And I suddenly realized, this is the OCM guy. So he says that to get things moving first, he will has to create an estimate of how much this will cost to us. And I also told him that he shouldn't include the cost of switch in that because we're expecting donation. And he warned us that you will not have access to a hotspur and such. So this is something that we have to consider. And on our side, we have to submit something, probably a document, I forgot the name, but it's sort of an MOU about network usage and such. We have to sign it, so I might bring it to the next board meeting.
Cool.
And Kenish said that he submitted the proposal for the donation. And this is it on my part.
What donation was that?
The switch.
For the switch.
Okay.
Cisco switch.
Ooh, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, another thing we have work.
You always do that.
We have another virtual host on Beth running, and it's called fleet.berkeley.edu. It's some association of, I don't remember the correct name, but you can finger the fleet account at OCF. I even noticed that their site is up today, so I tried to look at it, but my Netscape crashed under Solaris. Then I started the Linux Netscape, and it was sort of worked for 5 seconds and crashed again. That's it.
Okay. So, old business. I wanted to give an update on stuff that we've talked about before, and nothing has actually happened yet, but partially just to give me something to talk about, and also because, the board should be kept up to date. Some of you have seen going around a working version, so I've been working on the interesting stuff is something else. On updating the account form, so...
Sorry.
So this is just my sort of conceptual thing. It's not finished yet, but you'll notice the font is different. It doesn't look quite as much like your math homework.
Text.
Though it's still done with tech. It's just a different tech font.
Math homework tech.
And there's no equations. And
integral of. We can throw some in. Yeah.
Can I use that for my username?
I've done more things with like boxes and check marks and putting the instructions right next to the place where you have to write the stuff in the hopes of making things more foolproof. I don't know how it's going to actually turn out in practice. So I'm still working on that. And account creation, that, the whole making it faster thing. That's still on my to-do list, too. I'm contemplating rewriting the proof, which might make the process, I mean, the getting this working thing take longer. But approve, the script that we use to approve accounts is setUID right now, setUID root, which means that it runs with a lot of privileges. So if heaven forbid there's some bug in it, that could be a pretty bad security problem. So I mean, it's not too bad because most people, but it's a tool that's specific to us. So it's only someone who knew about it would never hack it. But it sort of bothers me. And I've also been looking into ways of enforcing better passwords that could sort of go into that. In the past, before my time, but in the past, some SMs or delegates of the SM can run cracked on the OCS password file, which is a program that, so Unix passwords are stored encrypted, so our computers don't have everybody's passwords. What they have is information that allows you to check people's passwords. So what the crack program does is it takes all the words in the dictionary and it tries to see, is this the password, is this the password, is this the password? And it tries more interesting things, like it takes words in the dictionary, you know, maybe you try to change the letter L to the number 1, the letter E to the number 3, turn it around backwards.
Dr.
Johns, it's all about
the
huge dictionary. Huge dictionary files.
So having users have secure passwords, namely ones that are hard to guess, makes the OCF security better. So on that side, it's something we want to encourage. On the other hand, good passwords are necessarily passwords that are harder to remember. And if our users can't remember their passwords, they're just going to write them down on a little slip of paper and stick them in.
I found two of those in the lab last week. Username, password. I'm like, okay.
No, you have to put it on your email disk.
I'm so glad that the approved script warns you that your
username is your
username
password.
We have some very, it has very limited checking now, but I don't think it even checks like if your password is eight numbers long as student ID number.
Same as our UC Link mail.
Or the same as your first name. So there are lots of things that we can. So there's a piece of software called CrackLib, which actually takes the part of the guessing part out of crack. But rather than doing a brute force search, when you enter your password, it tries to sort of reverse engineer it. So I'm trying to see how easy it would be to integrate that with a proof. You type something and say, no, that's the word in the dictionary. Mm-hmm. So the disadvantage of that is it can be sort of frustrating for users who can't think of a good password.
And then forget it, and then they come in next week. Can
but then
I change
there's
my
also
password?
Like, whenever I create accounts, I usually just put in like, foo or something, and then like change it later because I know someone's sitting right there.
Yes.
So.
So that's something that was in the past. The OCF has emphasized more that what you're doing when you approve the account is your initial password, and that's in part because the password used to be just written on the phone, and that was really not secure. So we definitely set it up so that you have to change your password when you log in for the first time. So there's a whole other issue about all the things that used to happen when you log in for the first time, happen when you open a terminal for the first time.
No.
So if people log in and use Netscape and log out, and log in and use Netscape and log out, they never see anything.
Until they have to use Star Office. And they're like, how do I use Star Office? And you get like, they never run a terminal. So you get
and then they get
crap.
The 20-page,
yeah.
Welcome to the OCF instructor.
Yeah.
So that, and also I think, I'm not sure what happens if you're sorry and you try to log in with CVE. I'm not sure whether it's you can log in, but you can't open the terminal window.
No, you can't log in.
Yeah.
You can't log in at all. Dialogue.
Since I believe sorry is not an approved shell. So
it says your shell is wrong? Or did it just
I just will not let you in, or something like that. I'm not sure.
Why don't we just sorry someone?
Yeah, so there's actually a user named sorry, who's, I assume, just for that purpose, for testing how things work when you're sorry. I don't know what the password for sorry is, so I have to change.
So it could be possible in theory to pack accession startup scripts to actually print a message that explains why they are sorry.
Yes. So that's another of those things that would be nice to do sometime. So I think that's all I wanted to say about this. This is what I plan to use better.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Next.
Anything else?
We love you, Ken. We really do.
Moving along, Ken. Okay, so the one new business is it's been suggested that we reconsider our policy for giving accounts to alumni. So just a reminder, the current policy is that we don't give accounts to alumni. The current policy is that to be a recipient, have an OCF account, you have to be a student, faculty, or staff member of the university or an affiliated institution like LBL or Graduate Theological
Union.
Yeah, or blah, blah, blah. So do you want to say anything? Maybe I should let you talk first.
I really don't know what to say other than that I would like to use the computer. I don't know what OCF stands for.
So it stands for open computing. So, and so we're not, so at the moment we're not open to alumni, so to speak.
Is it possible to create like shell accounts without email?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even see it as a problem if we give accounts to alumni, but how would you check? I mean, because people, like, when they just come in with, like, an ID, we always see if they're registered or something, but...
So I think the main reasons we have... So I think our policy, because of this, originally came out of our MOU with ICT. Back when we got... So back when the OCF was sort of being founded, there was an agreement with... There was us, Apollo, the company that was donating the computers, and the campus computer people. I don't know if they were called ICT. And I think one of the, so that MOU had a lot of things in it, like you couldn't use the OCF for CS homework, which we definitely don't enforce now. I think it also had something about alumni.
Oh, wait, we have to sorry Jeffy now.
But
sorry for doing homework.
The section about who was eligible for accounts, became a separate OCF policy. So it's actually, I think our policies are like numbered, and that's number one. It's right at the top of the policy website. So we've sort of taken that on independent of the MOU. So the thing about doing your CS homework, in a way, because the MOU is no longer in effect, because it applied to the Apollo computers, and we got rid of the Apollo computers, so that we actually, in a sense, we actually gave them back to the university by sending them to Access itself. So we're free of the obligations of the MOU, but I think there are still other policies that we're supposed, so there are both sort of policy reasons that the bot can decide about and actual policies we should be following that might still tie our hands here.
It must be affiliated.
Yeah, so the one that probably ties our hands is the terms of our access to the university network. So I don't know, I don't think we've signed something recently.
Yeah, but we'll sign it soon.
But we will very soon have to sign something, and we've implicitly been under the scope of that, of something like that already, either because, so I don't know how it sort of go. right now we're, so we have our connection in Barrows, and we must have gotten that at some point by signing something. And the, our connection to the ASUC network probably, I mean, we get it from the ASUC, but the ASUC got it from the university.
It's something called private connection policy. So this network is not managed by ISNT. They just give us the upstream thing. But there is still some policy that we have.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there are definitely general university policies regarding computer use. A prohibition of use of commercial, the use of university things for commercial purposes, for personal enrichment. And I think that that actually has, I mean, it's not like we've been changing the university policy, even if we're different to university policy. But that goes up further just because the university is part of the government, of the state government.
There are alumni at the town, probably.
Yes.
Quite a few.
So
that's a different issue, actually, kind of, right? Yeah. The CSUA gets away with it, by.
So there's...
CSUA isn't really affiliated with anything, though. They're not like...
How, you,
well,
how do you get into the Heller Lounge if you don't have a... if you're not affiliated with the university?
Well, so, I mean, expired student... your student ID card doesn't evaporate when you graduate. So if you graduated recently, I mean, your student ID card looks the same as some people still a student. And I have no idea what exactly the Heller people use to determine who actually gets in.
They let anyone in.
Student IDs.
Unless
they gave me strange looks when I gave them my old staff ID, which had no photograph.
But they gave you strange looks in the...
And then let me in.
Well, they're all students. They're not going to, like, turn people away.
I told them I left my ID in the lab. Times.
Well, they see us all the time. It's
no,
not
but like, no, this is early on. I said, I left my ID in the lab. Okay.
And there is a big sign.
There's like a big sign. Like, no ID, no entry. It's like, yeah, that's in the lab. Okay.
Yeah. So, we can talk about the bullet. But I think the issue of the, so I think that's what you have, right? Is a card that you got as an alumni that has one that lets you use the library?
It lets me use the majority of the facilities except the
They don't let you in, do they?
They gave me a bad time when I came to use it.
Yeah. See, the thing is, if they won't let people in, we can't really get people in by saying they have an account. I mean,
yeah.
I don't see how we can.
We, sometimes we can't get in, okay?
Yeah.
When they lock
yeah.
it up and they're like late and we're like, oh well.
Yeah.
We're stuck.
I mean, there's at least an issue. We could give people accounts who can't come into the lab in some way. Like, I've held office hours in places other than the lab. Barrows or Soda.
I mean, how do we distinguish between
the
alumni and, wanted to sign up for an account.
Probably they haven't decided on yet who to let in to the head of them. Right now it's supposedly only for students. Which is
already.
Yeah,
if you're alumni, how do you check it out?
Well, the sign in the lobby in Heller Lounge, it says to show ID, and when I walk in the door, I introduce myself to the guard and the receptionist and show my ID.
So it works at the library?
Pardon?
It works at the library, so doesn't it?
It works everywhere except in New York. And see, the library is closed at 5 o'clock on Sunday on the weekend.
That's not what it is.
Well, because, wait, it's just ASUC property. Yeah, it's not really campus.
It's run by
it's
the
not,
auxiliary.
It's not, like, UC. It's
yeah,
not
it's
part of the
building.
UC
it's, yeah, it's run by the ACC auxiliary. It's
yeah.
Like Heller is like...
Because they're not really... They're affiliated with the university, but they're not run
no
by
library.
The
publications
university.
Publications
from Heller.
So I guess I could understand why it might not work, but... I mean,
so
it would be a nice
be
policy if it did. Yeah, it's something that they have to...
Because, yeah, they can kind of make up their own policy to who they let in. They're only they only answer to like the ACC.
They
like
can
the
turn
Senate.
Away people that are like shorter than like 4 feet if they want it. And like
yeah.
I don't think anyone
and like you have to
no.
take it up with like the Senate or
yeah.
something.
So
yeah.
That alumni association card would be the proof that we have to have.
Look, we could, I mean, if we can create accounts from somewhere else, I say it's not a bad idea, but
then if they want to use the lab, they can't
get
in the lab.
Well, you got to pay to get the loan association card, so it's like...
So, yeah, I mean, I think that that card represents that you've given money to the alumni association. It's not necessarily just means that you're an alumni. I mean, if you have an old student ID card...
You have to be an alumni to join the association.
That's true.
The thing is, I think that the organization that actually runs that facility, they're pretty much renting space, if I'm correct. They're not really like, they're not like UC. They're renting space from UC.
Who is
publications.
Whatever that publication, Bloom Gold.
No,
something.
I think ASUC owns Escherman.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
MLK.
Okay. So it's not really like
so
UC campus
property.
So it should
be easy to change that policy.
It's for them
if,
to change. They need,
yeah,
like, if we can bring it up to
we
them.
We technically can't control.
Still would have to address it with somebody besides us because it's
not
allowed.
Yeah,
so
we're not going to be able
so
to like open the back
up
door.
Up.
Yeah,
like hug.
Yeah, because technically we just happen to be in the lounge, so you know, it's like we don't control who gets in the lounge. We're just there.
Yeah, and just like when we were in Nashville.
Yeah. You couldn't get except
nobody wanted.
Except that.
So. We can't vote on anything tonight because we don't have quorum.
And we don't control the policy either. But we could bring it up.
Maybe. We don't need to vote to bring it up, do we?
No.
Is that just kind of a, hey, do you guys want to let people in?
Consider that.
Yeah. Do they have like a comments box or like a suggestions box? I don't know. I think they would, but...
You can leave a nasty message on the voicemail.
Do they have an OCF account? Can we
just talk to them? Talk to people like that.
The ASUC has lots of OCF.
You go in and talk to Javier in the back. He's always there.
Yeah, he's actually.
We're holding your account. We're holding your email for ransom.
Then suddenly we can't get into the lab. He comes like locked up.
Hi, Ivan.
That's us,
Ivan.
Hey, Ivan.
It's still not quorum.
I have 2 things to say.
Wait, do we have quorum?
No. We need to quorum.
And like
I was here last week. I didn't sign up.
You are being recorded, Ivan.
Well, last week, right?
Oh.
You weren't officially on the board when you were there.
But
you only got on the board by being elected last week.
No. The week before.
So the week before that, it also doesn't matter.
No, the week before was when I was
you already on
the board.
So
last week I was here, but I didn't sign in.
Am I?
Wait, no. You were
elected
last
week before. So.
Yeah, he was.
So,
it should be in the minutes.
He was approved.
What
minutes?
My recollection is that
we were elected to the board last week.
Yeah.
Well, either way, I'm signing in.
Yeah.
I remember all those speeches.
Okay, Mr. Nixon.
So what do you want to say?
Oh, yeah, so you're just passing through.
What I need to say then. So next Wednesday, other our bill will be heard, and
it is Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, I would like Bob. Whoever bought to show up next Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the Sugar Hall to speak on our behalf.
In the Senate
chambers.
I
wish I knew what time the financing meeting was, but they don't know yet. I'll post it when I find out.
Can we just show up for the finance meeting? Can we, like, if it's like the finance is like 9, can we just like show up at 9? You don't have to be.
Just drop by.
Cool.
All right. Sorry, I have to get going. But that's my report.
Ivan.
I'm doing my best.
Ivan.
In the field, yes?
We had a question about who controls, who gets access to the Heller Lounge.
Who controls?
Because we have an alumni visitor here, and she was denied access to Heller Lounge. And so
I would say it's all under the control of the ACC auxiliary or the executive vice president.
And their decision is to restrict it to just students? Or
yes.
students be con. Unless you flash an old student ID.
Unless.
If you have an old student ID, they're not going to check. They can't verify. But if you don't have any credentials, I'm not sure.
Like, alumni card wouldn't be enough to say that.
No. Well, but I'll talk with Alex and the auxiliary, and I'll say, we'll do this sort of like Eshelman Hall, you sign in. Show ID and you sign in instead of moving your ID.
Okay, I can lose my ID again.
But thanks a lot, and I'll pass out.
So we just finished two things, so we're done.
Goodbye.
Oh, also, can you tell them to let, like, staff in? Is that like giving strange looks?
How about like if we can get in from the back door with a key?
They won't mill it. They won't mill it because it's supposed to be an emergency fire exit.
Yeah,
unless we could mill it
ourselves. What about us getting a key for the front door?
Well, we have to set off because sometimes the alarm set. ACOP
has
one.
ACOP has all the keys.
Oh, really? Oh, in that case, never mind.
So, does anyone want to say anything else about this new business?
So we can't do anything until next week. Right?
Wait, we can't move for the meeting to close. What happens?
Well, the meeting technically never. The meeting technically never opened.
No, it never opened.
It never happened.
Does anyone want to talk about any other stuff while we're here?
Oh wait, wait.
When should we put up Christmas lights?
Whenever you want to. All
right.
What's happening?
Wait,
after
wait.
Oh, you're good at barn.
After Thanksgiving.
A couple of days to run the problem.
After. It's always after.
So the guy, there's one of those users named Mohammed. He came up and asked if we were having trouble getting money for paper, and he said he'd like donate money to us to get paper, or he'd like get something going, get a paper fund,
right,
if you guys are interested.
Yes, we like
yes.
Money. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's not exactly a lack of money that's our problem right now. It's a lack of somebody wanting to go out and buy it.
It's a lack of accountability
on paper. We're out of paper again.
We're out of toner.
We're getting extraordinary.
SM.
It says low again. It was like 2 weeks.
I mean, a tonal cartridge is only good for 10 or 12,000 sheets.
We've done 10 or 12,000 sheets
in
2 weeks.
We've done 26,000.
Considering how many reams of paper that was.
No, I've done 26,000.
Wow. No, that's the second.
No, that's assuming people don't print out PowerPoint non-reversed.
Someone was planning on printing out black.
Non-reversed all black.
No, ooh, I need to. I want to take my fingerprints.
Oh, and some old staff member came and donated a monitor.
Tonight.
Some old staff member came and donated a Sun monitor.
Adrian Thomas, he used to be on staff. He knows.
He knows like
Tunsley.
So another one.
Jennifer Soy and
Tunsley.
And some guy named Gong, Gordon or something.
Yeah, he's on the staff.
He
wants to get off the staff in Vodlist, but nobody ever took him off. Even though he
has. But he did give us a monitor.
He gave us a monitor.
A 21-inch Sun monitor that didn't work with his PC.
You can cut it. You can split the thing right off and plug in the
But it's not
wires.
Multi-sync, the monitor.
Oh, never mind.
So is it like the other big Sun?
It seems like it.
Yeah,
looks
seems,
like
yeah.
it. Smells.
It came
in
two pieces.
It tastes like it. Wait.
The base is kind of not happy.
Well, the other base comes off, too.
Yeah, not sure if it's
So is this it?
So I asked if anyone wanted to talk about other things, and some things were sort of talked about briefly. Does anyone want to suggest
Can we get the Windows machine?
I think I'll bring the Windows box back next week. There will not be general or anything. It will be a client
staff
machine.
Put it in the
And
back
I'll
room
create accounts for everyone on staff. And that's it.
PC Netflix,
so that will be just staff PC for now.
Staff station.
Oh, okay. Quick.
Staff
I have a quick question about that Samba thing.
Yes.
So I remember setting up Samba before, where you can allow directory access through only user accounts on that machine. Why is it that doesn't work for printing? I'm not really sure how that works.
Is it
the same type
of
permissions?
First of all, there are no user accounts on the server machine.
There aren't.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, never mind.
Unless you
I withdraw my question.
To send clear text passwords over the network.
But we're not firewalled either. Can we? Our network kind of sucks
like
anyway. Can't we just stick a machine in front of it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
true.
Even
for firewall locally.
So I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty bad. We could set it
really
up,
but there
is no way to do that.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, so and then I've been like would really like our help with this thing. And I mean, it's totally for our best interest, so we should help him whenever we can.
Ivan?
With what?
Like, show up to the BOD meeting. Or show up to the Senate meeting.
And, like, help him with, like, paperwork and action
packets. I went to a Senate meeting last year.
4 years.
Yeah, it was long.
One of the things that I was thinking might be helpful is to get the users to, sign a petition or something about wanting air conditioning in the lab. Anybody that spends time in that lab knows that it needs air conditioning.
That's a good idea.
Our regular users will mostly show up. Yeah. Our regular
that's a good idea.
We should put up a sign that says, like, if you want AC, come to this meeting.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, and the other thing is Tom Baker said the other day when I spoke to him that he would be willing to come, and that would help us out a lot more. We need $25,000 for air conditioning.
Like, can we have the Senate meeting in the
yes.
As you can see, it's very hot here. It'll only get warmer as the night progresses.
Considering most of the new people that come in for a council, like, why is it so hot in here? We don't have air conditioning.
They asked us to turn down
ridiculous.
The
why do you guys have the heat on?
I haven't heard that one. Okay, so what time is it?
For the record.
6 to what?
6 to 8.
Okay, so
You can close your notebook.
Okay, it's the meeting.
The meeting never opens.
Yeah, that's true. The meeting's over.
Okay.